Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So I don't know why it's taken so long to get this guy in front of a microphone. Maybe because he's too busy. Maybe because he doesn't want to mess with me. I don't know, but he's here today. His name is Dr. John Jones. He is the interim superintendent of the Rock Hill School System. How are you, Doctor?
Hey, Manning Kimmel, it's great to be here, to be in front of one of the key holders of the city of Rock Hill. And so very deserving. Wonderful
nice.
To be here, sir.
Aren't you nice? So since you have not been here before, we have this tradition.
Okay.
Of trying to introduce our guest to the community out there that hasn't had a chance to meet you. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, and what a great community it is to be able to serve and to be an honor here. I'm a career educator, 37 years along the state line of North Carolina and South Carolina. I've worked in districts in both South Carolina and North Carolina, 37 years total, and seven here in Rock Hill. Came from a family of educators. My dad was a superintendent in South Carolina. My mother was a teacher. I tried not to go into education. And you know what? It just stuck with me, and what a wonderful career. One interesting fact is I'm a twin, and my twin brother is General Jeff Jones. He is your Deputy Adjutant General for the state of South Carolina National
Guard. I'll
be
doggone.
Yeah, yeah. Many times you'll see Jeff when there's a hurricane report or other things going, but what a great American, and a great, he says, you know, to serve America, the best place to do it is South Carolina. And as an educator, I can say the same thing, to serve in Rock Hill.
So are you all identical twins?
We are identical, and we sound alike. We do. So,
same build and stature and everything?
Yes, sir.
I'll be doggone.
Yes. I am the oldest, though, by 20 minutes.
So, so you could go down to your brother's office, put on his uniform, and walk out there, and they'd be saluting you and not know who you are.
I would hope so.
That's a hoot.
I would hope so.
That's a hoot. Yeah. So you've been in the Rock Hill school system for 7 years.
7 years, yes, sir.
And you've had, a battery of different positions since you've been here?
Started out working with academics in the academics position for 4 years, and then I served as an interim superintendent earlier, and then had a chance to work as deputy superintendent in the school system, and then finishing up as interim superintendent here. Every place I found has been a wonderful place to serve in the school system.
So I'm going to ask you this question that I've asked you before, which is, why is it your name in the hat for being the new superintendent?
You know, wasn't it Forrest Gump that said life's a box of chocolates? It is a box, and I've had some of the richest, most wonderful chocolates. But if I'm looking at life as a box of chocolate, there's some new opportunities that I want to make sure I try, and an opportunity, and just giving that, I think my time in Rock Hill, we've seen some great advancements, some wonderful things happen, and I think passing that on to leaders and good people here, where I look at others.
Good for you. You're right. Life is short, and you got to do what your heart tells you to do.
Right.
So you're not involved at all with the selection process, you personally?
No, sir. No. I'm not involved with it. I assist the board in what they need resource-wise and information, but it's their process.
So the company that's been hired by the school board,
yes.
Do they, I guess, ask you to send a bunch of information about the district?
So we help them in making sure that they have access to sending information to our stakeholders, email, all of that, to make sure everybody has a chance to be able to provide the input. Every group of stakeholder that we have, as well as there have been some town hall sessions that have held face-to-face. We've had those at schools, as both at the district office. So we've assisted in that process.
Was there any overwhelming theme that came out from all of this data that you were collecting from the community about what they wanted to see?
Well, I think first and foremost, the heritage of what education is about in Rock Hill Schools. I've talked with you and others when they say, what is the greatness of Rock Hill Schools? It's the people. It's the people and the line and the heritage. I many times refer to our employees who have been here so long, I call them legacy class. They're the ones who have worked as well as with our parents and community to make our school system what it is. So I think first and foremost, are we going to have someone that is a people person, that's going to be visible, that is a problem solver and a communicator, as well as someone that's going to look at what are the challenges, not necessarily with Rock Hill, but also just with public education in this world now. And they're looking for someone who can advance and that we can be better, you know.
Well, you know, public education is, it's a tough game now.
It is.
It's no longer just bringing the students into class and they sit there attentively and listen and learn and what have you. In many ways, and this is true for school districts across the country, they're having to deal with kids who are coming from, and these are my words, not yours, what I would call non-traditional homes.
Right.
We have a single parent, right, mm-hmm. who's stressed to the max trying to put bread on the table mm-hmm. and is not there to do the discipline things that need to be done and to make sure they turn off the TV and do their homework and all this kind of stuff. And those are issues that your teachers have to deal with day in and day out. I mean, the very fact that we have a back-to-pack program and free lunch and all this kind of stuff, that is really amazing in terms of how the world has changed. Mm-hmm. You would agree with that?
I would agree. I mean, from our education foundation to the support services we offer to access to mental health, all of that, that many times in my younger career you didn't see. Now that's a big part of who we are and a tremendous advantage that many systems do not have the resources to be able to take care of.
Yeah, but the good news is, and I was saying this morning when we were talking to the board chair, Helena Miller, if you go to any of the graduation programs at our high schools, and I don't care which high school it is in the county, go to any of them, they'll be handing out millions of dollars in scholarships. Mm-hmm. Now, those scholarships are based on performance. Yes, there are some athletic ones, right? But there are also a heck of a lot of academic ones.
Absolutely.
You've got young men and women going to the military academies. They're going to into the military. I mean, the bottom line is that, in my opinion, the infrastructure is there to give these kids a good education. Mm-hmm. The question is, do the kids want that good education? And are their parents there to support them? And does the whole system within inside the school work to achieve that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that you know, every graduate that walks that stage, there's a story behind that graduate. There's a story. There is a parent or a guardian who has sent their very best to us. And I feel that it's so important to recognize that behind every story, that there's every opportunity that we should afford for our students to be successful, not only in academics, but as well as arts and athletics. But that investment piece, which I think is high in Rock Hill Schools, you will find teachers, you'll find principals, you'll find that invest in the community, that does tremendous job investing in our students. I think the real fulcrum around education now is simply really what it is in life. It's my size fits me. You know, when I came up through school, a lot of it was, you know, the traditional model that, you know, you follow to what the program it is offered. And instead, in our schools, we look at how is it that we can customize education that's going to fit the diverse and changing needs of our students and families. A school system that's not attuned to that is a school system that's not going to go forward. And I feel Rock Hill is doing that.
And it's interesting because you're also seeing institutions of higher education, like right across the street here in Winthrop, they've done a wholesale change of their curriculums,
right,
so that the students, when they walk out of there, are job ready. Mm-hmm. They've got partnerships with Lord knows how many different industries, and I know you do that as well. Mm-hmm. You also have, and I can't remember what the right terminology for it is, but dual track or dual credit. That's
dual credit That's one of our highlights this year, and we're so grateful for the Board of Board of Trustees' support, as well as the work we're doing in academics. And again, under that My Size Fits Me, we are exposing students with access to more college-level coursework. We're coming out with two pilots we're excited with. One's with Winthrop with a leadership track, a leadership where students can go in and have some courses that focus on leadership. We're doing a pilot with around 50 students there. Excited that this year we are getting ready to graduate that first class of students that in our schools with the dual language that eventually went through Cherry Park. Cherry Park wasn't open when they started, but that kindergarten track, and we're celebrating those students Thursday night at Winthrop, those students who not only continued through Rock Hill High School, but have completed college courses on the Winthrop campus. And what a success that story, that whole program is. University of South Carolina at Lancaster, York Technical College, all are stepping up, and even some possibilities with Clinton. All of our institutions stepping forward to say, how can we fit the needs of our students with them experiencing college courses? That's exciting. I wish I would have had that when I were going. And I, you know, speaking of that, also the access to technology courses and applied courses that students have within our career education classes at ATC.
I was going to mention ATC because yes. If you have not been to ATC, you really have missed something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did a tour out there. It's probably been a couple of years ago now. I was overwhelmed.
Yes.
By what they are teaching these young men and women. I mean, there were everything from drone technology mm-hmm. to they had a machine there. There was a human body.
That's right.
It was a crazy thing, yes. Teaching them all about this and that and everything with nursing and what have you. Uh-huh. They have auto mechanics out there. But I think what we've learned in this post-COVID era is that there are lots of great jobs out there that are paying very, very, very well that you don't need to get a four-year college education for it. Mm-hmm. College is not for everybody.
That's right.
And when you live in a world like we do today where truck drivers can make $100,000 plus, then you know how the world's changed.
Yes, there are sustainable incomes for those students who can certify and come through those programs and exit. You know, when I was coming along, I was interested in an electronics class at the vocational school, but that meant that I changed my track and it changed my degree. And just the other day when I tried to hang a ceiling fan in my bedroom, I thought, why did I not take that course? Why did I not? And students are doing that now. And you mentioned the health and services that you're talking about, the ambulance simulator.
That's it. That's
that
it.
We have out there. And I was in the ambulance simulator when the patient went into cardiac arrest, and I watched those students handle that situation, and they're moving forward and certifying, and they're adding to emergency support in our community because we want to keep them in Rock Hill. It should be a pipeline, and Rock Hill Schools, as part of that responsibility, is to produce citizens who will stay with us and work in our community.
So there, I mean, it's needless to say, there's a lot of good stuff going on mm-hmm. at the Rock Hill Schools. I would strongly encourage anybody to maybe a non-believer, just to go out and walk through the ATC, make arrangements to go out there and see for yourself.
We welcome that.
Because it is. So do you, does the educational program require all students at some point in their high school years to go to the ATC and take a course or do something so they can see what's over there?
You know, it doesn't require. It does not require, but what we work with, and Ms. Neuwendijk, our director out there, is exposing kids. And this has been an emphasis of the Board of Trustees as well. How are we exposing students? Because you don't start that in high school. You look exposure at the middle school and the elementary level. Our STEAM programs, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, arts, in a different order, of course, that has sustained a lot of exposing those students to what the possibilities are in educating. And so it is not required by the South Carolina Department of Education, but that exposure shows the worth in what they have.
Well, I tell you what, if I was the great educator of South Carolina, I would require that. You know, my eyes really got open right after the hailstorm in April of a year ago. Mm-hmm. My car got all beat up, big time. Got beat up by the hail. So I was out there at Burns Chevrolet.
Right.
And it took a long time to get my car fixed because it had supply chain issues. You know, everybody had beat up cars, whatever. So I went in to check in on the car every once in a while. And I got the chance to watch these men and women back there in the Burns shop do what they do. And I said, my God, this is incredible. The skill set that these have. Mm-hmm. And then I got talking to one of your board members, James Burns, and to hear the kinds of wages that these men and women earn,
yes.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible. And I kept thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great if more students at the high school level got exposed to what else is out there in the world besides going to 4 more years of school.
Mm-hmm. Well, two important facts with that. Number one, career and technical education has shifted. It should not be a school or a place that a student has to go to attend. Certainly, we have the equipment and specialized classes that are there, but their career exploration should be at their hand, around them, at the school level. And there are certain advancements that we're making with York Technical College and other places to be able to come to the school where we have professors and teachers that are coming and offering that. And really, Manning, I agree with you. The second piece is, if it's done well, that curriculum really ceases to be the curriculum. It becomes the power where the kid says, this is what I want to do.
Bingo.
This is what I get. That's what it's all about.
That's exactly right. And with that happy note, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, I got people here who know what the heck we're going to do. We do fresh subs and salads, and I, by golly, you can get a free cookie from Charlie if you participate in this. At the count of three, we want you to read the white letters out loud because that's what we do here at Substation 2. One, two, three.
Slice, garden.
Oh, it's a lot of cookies. Ready to go. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140. Or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, Dr. John Jones, the interim Rock Hill School Superintendent, who has this job, I guess, for another few months, something like that. We don't know how that's all going to shake out, but I think the Helena Miller mentioned today that the ideal situation would be to have the new superintendent in place by the 1st of July, something like that. All right. And good old Dr. Jones over here is going to work right with him and make sure he gets him in the right path, right?
We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Okay, so I don't want to leave the program without, I mean, we could talk about all these really neat things that are going on in the school. You got a whole list of good stuff going on. But obviously there's some challenges. Mm-hmm. The Rock Hill School District has been losing some kids, you know, to the charter schools. And I'm sure, I would hope, that you're doing some kind of exit interviews with them or their parents as to what the issues are. What have they identified?
Well, and this certainly is apparent in many school systems. It's not just unique to Rock Hill Schools. I think it's happening in public education as well with the changes that are occurring. But we are charged to be focused on Rock Hill Schools. Parents have choice. They have choice. We talked about that earlier. There's a lot of choice that's available now that parents have. Choice can be a good thing. We just have to make sure we sustain that we're the best choice,
right.
that we're the best choice. So, you know, programming such as dual credit that we spoke about earlier, or looking at what opportunities we can offer with career and technical education. Certainly our athletics and arts program, which I consider to be second to none. They're outstanding programming. All of that attracts and says why Rock Hill Schools is the best place for you when you're considering and making choices.
So one of the issues that I think every classroom, well, most classrooms in America have, mm-hmm. is discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are, as I say, coming, in my opinion, from dysfunctional homes where they just, you know, the kids haven't been disciplined, and so they're bringing that characteristic right into the classroom. Mm-hmm. Has that been an issue for you all?
It is an issue, but I say it is an issue that with many school districts, you know, it comes down to climate and culture. Your climate and culture in your classroom is vital, and it's certainly being able to meet the needs of our students. Needs vary all the way from what are the standards that we're setting and how do we uphold those. I feel our administrators and our teachers work to do that. But it's taking more now. What did I hear this morning on the radio? That South Carolina is rated one of the highest in the nation with mental health challenges now.
Yep.
And our students coming in. So how is it that we're equipping to be able to serve those students in the least restrictive environment, which means as close to the classroom as possible? I find our teachers and our schools are accommodating, but we do have to make sure that we have a standard that we hold, that we communicate it. We identify, we communicate, and that we provide the resources, and then we have to make the decisions to be able to have a learning environment that all students can learn.
I mentioned to you before that I had the privilege, and I do consider it a privilege years ago, to serve on the board up at the Charlotte Douglas International Airport.
Yes, sir.
With the former director by the name of Jerry Orr. Mm-hmm. And one of his famous quotations that I write down every year when I get a new calendar, mm-hmm. is the standard is the standard.
Yes, sir.
Period. Mm-hmm. No ifs, ands, or buts. Mm-hmm. Whatever you establish is what the standard is going to be, it's got to be the standard. Now, that's a little bit difficult. It's one thing to be in a private setting where you're working for somebody, and that's the way it's going to be.
Right.
But you're in an educational platform where these students aren't your employees, and you're limited as to how far you can go to make sure that they meet the standard. I mean, you can't fire them, right?
Correct.
So how do you handle all that?
Well, I mean, students, we welcome all students. We welcome all students. We value all of our students. We're going to do our very best to recognize the leader in each of those students, the academic student, as well as what the student can contribute and what they can learn in anywhere from our academics to our arts and other programs. But we welcome them. And then their standard that they bring in and their experience may be different from what the standard we expect. I think we have to continue to work at making sure that the standard we set, that we're consistent with it, but that we do everything we can with the gap between what we expect. It really comes down, as I say many times to our principals, you know, what the expectations are and what the reality is.
Right.
And you try to keep those as close together as you can to be able to support not only students, but our families, but making sure that there's work I feel we have to do in that area as students change. and behavioral needs are, but we've got to keep that in, at a premium in order to keep our students and our families.
Well, that's a tough issue.
It is.
It's a tough issue. Now, when you talk about mental health,
yes, sir.
And we've learned a lot about that during COVID. Right. I mean, when we sent everybody home and they lived off of a television screen, that kind of changed the whole world. Mm-hmm. So at one point you had a mental health counselor, did you not? Almost in every school?
Yes, sir.
That's changed?
No, we have that.
You still have that?
We have our mental health counselors. We have currently 10 in the district who work. We have guidance counselors at all schools, and we've been able to move forward in being able to sustain those 10 counselors for the upcoming year because we recognize mental health is important.
Right. Now, your director, Nancy, is
Dr. leading. Nancy Turner, yes, who just received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Association of Student Behavioral Health. Nancy's retiring as well, but as she departs, we're leaving it structured that we're still going to be able to offer this with our students and continue.
So these mental health counselors, they're not lacking for things to do. I mean, they got a lot of kids that they're trying to work with on these issues?
That's correct, yes. Their caseloads are heavy. And the wonderful part of these counselors is whatever they're working on or doing, they're going to drop if there's a need for a student, or they're going to go and attend. Like many of our teachers, they go above and beyond. So their caseloads are full. There are needs, but they manage them quite well and do a good job collaborating with our parents and communities on those needs.
So I got to think that you would love to be able to go back to those students who have left the Rock Hill school system and say, come on back here. Let me tell you what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you had that opportunity, what would you tell them? What would you say to them that is, let's say, different now than when they were there that, you know, caused them to go elsewhere?
I think that we certainly are working to meet the needs of all of our students and would work to make your experience of what you're looking for, what your size is, what you're looking for from our athletic programs. We have a district AD that's working to support and looking what we can do to modify and implement programs. You know, speaking of athletics, something new that's in there, female flag football.
Oh, yeah. Boy, isn't that big.
As well as female wrestling, two of the sports that are growing, most growth in the nation, and that's exciting. But we're not just talking about it. We're putting into place. We're working with that. Expansion of, again, the CTE courses, those career and technology, what it is, how it is to bring them back to say, hey, these are the people who are in your community. These are the students who are your friends. How is it that we can customize and support and compete? That's what we want to do.
So you've got a few months left before you go on to whatever it is you're going to do. What do you hope to accomplish between now and the time that you sadly say goodbye to the Rock Hill school system?
Well, we want to make sure that the transition is complete and is effective, that we go into the new year, that the new superintendent coming in, that he or she will already know the direction. We've done some work to already put in some structures for next year. We're still making some decisions on that, but we want that person to come in and not have to go back and do work that we should be responsible now, that they come in and they see and recognize the school system that's highly structured, is highly organized, that is safe, that our academics is set, and we're doing the best to meet our students. So that's the work that we're doing and working with. We have a few more policies and some more opportunities to be able to get hammered down. For example, parents and community will see a survey soon about our academic calendar for not this upcoming year, but the next year. We want to get all of that straight, an example of working forward to be ready.
Well, Dr. John Jones, thank you for being with us today.
What a pleasure. And let me say thank you for the spots that our listeners will hear on our three high schools and the stories.
That's amazing,
and we thank you so much.
Well, thank you for allowing us to do it, and you'll be hearing those later in the month. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice, these guys. We're conservative investors. Okay, no introduction. What do we do here at Substation 2? 6 days a week. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. No free cookies for them, Charlie. They don't deserve it. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. for today. See you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.